Welcome to the Silver Screen Podcast. I'm Jared Boomer.
And I'm Katie Ganey West. This is a podcast about movies and pop culture.
And today, a little bit of a break from our normal format. We have more reviews to share with you, but also a lot of recommendations. You've told us that you really love recommendations, and when we recommend certain things to you, this is going to be mainly focused on television shows, so we're going to have a lot of television shows to recommend to you. But there was nothing really in the theater this weekend except Downton Abbey, which we didn't really feel needed a review, and so we're just kind of waiting for Memorial Day to kick off the summer movie season. So we've got this episode for you this evening, and this should be fun. So we have there's a lot of great TV right now,
so
it'll be fun to talk about it. So,
Jared, I have an Excel spreadsheet where I'm keeping track of my watch list, and I have it categorized by, like, not studio, who's, like, airing it. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
The,
like,
network?
Hulu. Yeah. Yes, network. I'm so good with TV and words. The network. So I have Hulu, Netflix, HBO, Prime, YouTube, and Disney/Apple+, Disney Plus, Apple, whatever, because both of those I don't currently pay for, but I'll pay for them for a hot second if I have to watch something.
Yeah.
But the longest queue I have by far is Netflix, followed closely by Hulu.
Makes sense. So
I was a little TV watching machine this last week.
Yeah, I saw the notes here. You've crushed out a lot of series. So
I've been killing it, Jared. I've been taking this seriously.
So we'll get to all our shows here in just a minute. We do have some news items. First up, Ezra Miller is back in the news for a couple of different things. First, they shut down a police officer for improper pronoun use when they were getting arrested. Mm-hmm. That one I sort of understand. I see why they have a reason to be upset about that. Especially
yes.
if they told them their preferred pronouns and then they still referred to them as maybe a he, which is, I'm assuming, what happened in
yes.
that situation. So,
and I do think Ezra is being, like, wilding out. However,
yeah,
I did see the video and hear the video where they said that, and they were calm and collected and pretty kind when they said that. So the fact that the police officer did not care, that was upsetting.
The other thing I saw with Ezra Miller is that they basically stole music. So they were working on this song thing with these music producers, and they were kind of collaborating, them and the music producer, and they basically said, okay, we still want to make some tweaks and edits and stuff to it before we release it. Rolling Stone has an article about this if you want to read more about it. But basically, Ezra Miller just went and released the song, like posted the link to the song on their Instagram and was like, here's the song. And the music producer was like, hey, you basically stole this because we didn't agree that it was time to release this and you didn't give me any credit for it and all this other stuff. So
that's a
huge thing. They're trying to, like, recoup some, I guess, money on that, like any money that they made from the song or whatever. They obviously want, like, a cut of that since the producers also worked on it. So that's an article on Rolling Stone if you want. It's pretty interesting if you want to read that whole thing. So other big news item, the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial is still going on. I feel like Johnny Depp has this one. I don't even know what we're doing at this point. I feel like Johnny Depp has this in the bag pretty much.
Yeah, I don't want to be cocky, but every day I read something outlandish that Amber Heard did or said. Every day. Like, I'm not even watching it. I do not watch the footage. I'll maybe watch a 30-second clip on Instagram that somebody posts. But other than that, I'm just getting, like, little sound bites or reading a quick snippet about it on someone's, like, social media.
Yes, that's what I've seen. I've seen most of it on TikTok, and I saw a clip today where Amber Heard's lawyers were trying to question Johnny Depp and his lawyers, and basically every single question, his legal team was like, that's a leading question, or that's an assuming question, or that, you know, like, shot down basically every single question that they had because they were like, that's not, you know, legitimate question to be asking. So
I've also heard a lot about her. I did watch a video where James Franco comes into her apartment or house or something. It's some kind of elevator situation. And she keeps saying, like, I didn't do anything with James Franco and Johnny was jealous and then he beat me. And I'm just like, I don't care what you did or did not do with James Franco. Being associated with James Franco is not going to help your case, period. He just got out of a case himself.
Yeah, that's not the best person to probably say that you were associating with. So
no.
Also, Amber Heard said that Warner Brothers didn't want to include her in the Aquaman sequel, and that she was trying to schedule time for filming. And then basically during this whole trial, Warner Brothers has basically stopped communicating with her about the sequel. So her role was either going to be much reduced or just taken out entirely. That movie doesn't come out till next year, but it's probably for the best there. Warner Brothers was just like, we just want to get out of this situation. Her role is not that major in this movie. We'll find somebody else to possibly play this part. So yeah, that's all of our news items for this week. So we have no corrections on this episode. We do have a few more reviews. We read a few of them on our last episode, The Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, but we had a few more that we wanted to get to as well, and we thank you for all those reviews. You can always rate and review the show. If you review the show, we will read your review on an episode of the show. So,
oh, and I did save on, I do highlights of our podcast. I keep it updated 8 weeks back just to keep it, you know, new and not 800 clips or whatever on the highlight reel. But I did save how to leave a review on Apple Podcast on the podcast reel on my Instagram page.
Nice. Very nice. So you can just go there and see how you can leave a review and leave a rating as well. So we do have some more reviews, though. First up, we have a review from BNL Guster Fan. And we don't know who this is. I don't know if you're a Bare Naked Ladies and a Guster fan. I mean, maybe that's the case here.
That's BNL, a good idea. You know,
maybe Bare Naked Ladies. So those are two solid bands. So but they said fun, insightful movie conversation. You know what's fun? Listening to smart people talk about things they're passionate about. This is fun. Well, thank you. We have fun doing this show.
Yes, and we do want to thank you. Like, if you feel comfortable telling us who you are, we just want to say thank you, and I'd love to share a good memory that one of us has with you. So thanks again, BNL Guster Fan. And I agree, both great bands.
Next up, we have Brandon, who says, this review would like to thank the Academy. Insightful conversations on films across all genres. This is a delightful podcast by movie lovers for movie lovers. Katie and Jared do a wonderful job at staying up to date on the latest pop culture, providing interesting recommendations, and going deep on the week's main topic. Check them out.
So Brandon, I can guarantee he knew I was going to say this. So Brandon and I were in a show, The Great Gatsby, together. And he went to Second City. He is a huge movie fan. Like, we have so much in common. But the other thing I wouldn't say we have this in common is we disagree on everything, to the point where I laugh hysterically every time he posts something on Instagram or every time a movie comes out. If I'm excited about it, I can almost guarantee you he's not excited about it. And then if he posts something like, this is a book I'm reading, I'm like, no, hard pass. And to the point, it's just become so funny. And he will continually say, no, we don't disagree on this, or no, it's not absolutely everything, but it's almost everything. So anyway, I just think that's hilarious. I could come up with a lot more funny memories from the show, and he's a wonderful friend and a wonderful person, but mainly we just disagree on everything.
And then finally, we have Lauren, who said, calling all movie fans, you can tell that Katie and Jared are movie experts and that they truly enjoy making this podcast. This is a very fun listen, and I'd highly recommend it for anyone who loves movies. That's nice of you to say that we're movie experts, Lauren, but I don't know if we're actually experts. I feel
that
like
is
we're just
so sweet.
Enthusiastic about movies.
No, Jared, but take the compliment. We're experts.
Okay, I'm an expert, yeah.
But Lauren, I love Lauren. So Lauren was easily my best friend in middle school. We are both boy-girl twins, and she and I got married like middle of the pandemic within several months of each other. We have a lot in common. Now, if you guys listened to the last episode, I said I would mention Sabrina the Teenage Witch. This is where it comes up. So that's like a throwback to the last episode to this. Lauren and I were obsessed with Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the original one with Melissa Joan Hart as the star, and Hilda and Zelda were her aunts, and Salem was her talking cat. Lauren loved it so much that her cat was named Salem, their family cat. He was a black cat named Salem. Okay. And we would watch Sabrina the Teenage Witch all the time. I even had a handbook, like it looked like Sabrina's, and it had little spells and stuff in it, but it was usually things like make some jello. And then you know, do something with it. And that's a spell. It was like cute things that weren't really witchcraft. Anyway, Lauren and I were so obsessed with Sabrina. And I watched it so much that then my twin brother, Sean, learned almost every line of the show like I did. So we still quote it to this day. I hope Lauren hears this because it brought me so much joy. How much thinking about how much we loved Sabrina the Teenage Witch. When I heard they were remaking it with Kieran and Shipka, I was like, I don't know if I'm happy about this or excited about it or upset about it. I actually didn't watch it, but there was something I loved so much about the old version with Melissa Joan Hart because it was so bubbly and fresh and clean, wholesome fun. It was like, it was so good. I loved it. Anyway, yeah. And I also love Lauren. So thank you for your wonderful review.
So we're going to take a quick break here on the show, and then we'll come back and we'll get into all of our recommendations on this episode of the Silver Screen Podcast. And we're back here on the Silver Screen Podcast. This is a recommendations episode. We're focusing on a lot of recommends, books and TV shows. We're going to start with books, though. That's going to be the first thing that we're going to highlight, and then we'll go into our TV shows. If you're interested in Hollywood and the behind the scenes process, I have two books for you that I think you'd enjoy. One Ooh. I have read most of, the other one I have not read yet. And you're like, okay, you're going to suggest a book you haven't read yet, but I've read this author before and I've liked two of his other books. So the author is James Andrew Miller. He did the SNL book and he also did the ESPN book. On the history of those two things.
Yeah.
But he has a book out. His last book was on the story of the creative artist agency. So like CAA,
yeah.
The company that like represents all the actors and actresses in Hollywood, a lot of them. So that book is, that's the one I've read about half of. That's the one tells you how CAA started, how they got these big name clients, why people went to their agency instead of other agencies. So if you like that behind the scenes process of stuff like that, I would recommend that book to you. I will say his books are they're like essay interview based. So it's just a lot of subjects talking on that topic. And if you don't like that, it could get annoying pretty quickly. There's not really a big narrative structure in them. It's just kind of interview. It's a bunch of interviews interviewing people about that worked either at the company or on the thing about the thing. So
do you know what I love about books like those, though, are that they're easy to pick up and put down. So if you're someone that like has trouble focusing, or you don't like chapter books, or you don't want to get invested in a 600-page novel that's a fictional story, these books are great because you can just pick it up and be like, okay, next Saturday I'm going to read three more interviews or whatever. So that is ideal. I love those because I feel like I can read them quickly, and also I can read other books at the same time. If there's like a novel I want to read at the same time, I can actually focus on both because it's not hard to retain the information in both of them.
Yeah, like the SNL book he did goes through the kind of different decades of SNL. So if you're like, oh, I don't really care about the 70s that much, then you can just skip that and go right to the 80s or the 90s. Like, you don't have to read the whole book. If you're a completionist, that may freak you out a little bit. But it's very easy in his books to kind of like pick and choose sections if you're not interested in a particular thing that he's talking about right then. And then his most recent book is about HBO, which I haven't read, but I want to. It's called Tinderbox, HBO's Ruthless Pursuit of New Frontiers, and talks about the story of HBO and how it started, and of course all of their prestige TV shows. So again, it gets pretty in depth, and if you're really into movies, TV, and you want to like really do a deep dive on any of those things, I would suggest those. So
that's really cool, Jared. Thank you for recommending those. And I only have one book. So I've read quite a bit. I kind of got out of my reading slump, thank God, because it was several months there. But out of the books I've read lately, there's only one that's like stood out to me. I finished it yesterday and I've seen it a lot on Instagram. It is a love story. It is like a romance. It's not like a sexy romance. It's like a rom-com kind of a situation. It's a book of the month book, just came out in May. It's called Part of Your World by Abby Jimenez. And this book was so good. It was equal parts like romance, lighthearted, bubbly, but it also had some really serious subject matter because the main woman in the story, she's in a domestic abuse situation. It's not physical abuse. It's like psychological abuse, emotional abuse. But then she talks about how she learned that behavior from her parents' relationship, where there might have been some like financial abuse and other things like that. So it really can open your eyes to different forms of abuse in relationships with domestic partners, and then also how to get out of them or why people don't leave them. But then it also had this like beautiful story between these two people that were falling in love that had quite a large age difference and very different lifestyles, different socioeconomic statuses. So there was substance to this book. Anyway, again, that's called Part of Your World by Abby Jimenez. And apparently she is a big, she's big on the Food Network as well. So she's talented chef too. But it was just delightful. So if you're looking for something fun, that's what I would absolutely recommend.
Nice. Very nice. So thank you. Now we're going to get into our TV show recommendations. I think you have some more TV than I do. So I'll go ahead and let you go first, because I think I have three, maybe four shows I'm going to recommend.
Okay.
And you have what, six? Six or seven?
Well, so. Okay. Let's start with six, because the sixth one, because this is just to let the people know, if you're like, why didn't you mention this? I'm working on it. Okay. Or it's because it's like mid-season or nothing new. I mainly just want to let all my Real Housewives fans out there know that Real Housewives of New York and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills have released not the current season, but the one prior to that, are now on Hulu. Cause you know, it's always a season behind. I was thrilled to find this out the other day. The only thing that's very distressing, if you love Real Housewives of New York, which I do, but I hate a lot of the people that were still left. Ramona Singer, who I have just hated with a passion since day one. Sorry, that's such a strong word in today's, I shouldn't encourage hate. She's my least Disliked? Favorite person.
Okay.
She's like my least favorite person, not ever, but she would definitely be like top 20 for sure of my entire life.
Okay.
And I've never even met her in real life. Anyway, she was like racist and ridiculous during the entire season, and they didn't even have a reunion because of her racist behavior, and there was an investigation launched. So if that tells you anything about Ramona Singer, just know if you're going to watch that on Hulu, there's no reunion, there's no conclusion, and they've already said they're going to start Real Housewives of New York with a whole new cast. Not a single person is coming back. It's done. Goodbye.
Okay.
So be warned. And then the other things I'm continuing to watch that I'm loving are Organized Crime and Law & Order SVU. Organized Crime is, of course, the spinoff from Law & Order SVU. That's the one with Christopher Maloney. They're both really good. They're keeping up with like the momentum, the times. I would say at this point, I get more excited about Organized Crime. I know that's like a crime for me to say that, but that's just the way I feel right now. Okay, so the shows I would like to recommend besides those. Okay, Jared, I don't know if you noticed I left blanks because I didn't want you to have to guess, but I didn't want to ruin the surprise for you. So number one, favorite thing I've watched.
First one.
Yes. Favorite thing that I've watched, Dope Sick on Hulu. It is fantastic. The quality, the acting, the story. Now, if you're someone like me who freaking, you love a drama, you love good acting, you love things that make you want to punch a hole in the wall, this is going to be that show for you. Because it will make you angry, and it should make you angry. But it also teaches us about greed and what people will do, horrible people, to get more money when they don't even need more money. So it's about the Sackler family and how they pushed OxyContin on people and how many people have died. And not even from OxyContin. It's a big reason why fentanyl is so prevalent now. It's a big reason why Appalachia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, like where I live in Ohio, all of this is still an enormous problem and people are dying at an alarming rate. And how we mismanage pain in this country. And it's led to consequences that we can't really like fix at this moment. So screw you, Sackler family. I absolutely hate everything about you. The show is fantastic. It's Michael Keaton, Caitlin Dever, Will Poulter. It's only 8 episodes. They are about an hour each, so it is a longer commitment. And Michael Keaton, just to share, this show meant so much to him because he had a nephew that died of an overdose. And it's like changed the dynamic of his family, and it's deeply affected him. And he was extremely passionate about doing this project. But best thing I've watched in probably 6 months, TV show wise. Yeah.
Okay.
And then
I read that book on the Sacra Family earlier this year, Empire of Pain, which was a really good book about that, about Purdue Pharma and them. Yeah. So that was kind of, it was a long book though. So if you want, if you're still interested in them, it sounds like the TV show is a little bit more of an easily digestible thing probably, since it's only 8 episodes and it's like an hour piece. So
yes,
because it took me longer than 8 hours to read that book for sure.
Yeah. Oh, well, I believe it. And that's kind of why I wanted to watch the show, because I did think, I get so enraged about the Sackler family, and I already knew way too much about them that I don't think I could read a book and reasonably stay calm about it.
Yeah, it was definitely difficult for sure. So for sure.
Well, thank you so much. Okay. So next up is another D one, The Dropout on Hulu. The Dropout is about Elizabeth Holmes. She is the one, of course, that founded Theranos. If you haven't heard of this story, I don't know where you've been, because I mean, this story's been like, it's been in the news for years now. She had a horrible impact on a lot of the business industry. She had a wonderful idea that actually would have changed medical developments, like, because she basically, her idea was to like draw blood without having to draw it, like you'd prick your finger basically, and you could run all these tests, you could find out if you had cancer, if you were pregnant, all this stuff. It's a fantastic idea. Apparently it's impossible. It doesn't mean somewhere down the road some genius couldn't figure it out. She became a billionaire. She was a young billionaire. She dropped out of college. I'm not trying to ruin the whole story for you, because don't worry, that's the beginning of the story. But and then she was a woman in business in Silicon Valley and was making a name for herself, and it was going to help women everywhere. And then we find out she's lying about the whole thing. And when I say she's lying, she screwed people out of millions and millions. Actually, it was billions, billions of dollars. She just went to trial, though. That's why I feel like a lot of people would know about this. The show does not go into the trial. The show does explain what was happening at the time that they released it. But it's all the lead up to it. I will say it opens your eyes a little bit to maybe what caused her to be a little unhinged. But I think for sure, like, I can't diagnose people, and I could be really wrong, but if I had to, like, off the cuff from what I know about certain things in life, I would say she's, like, definitely a narcissist, possible sociopath. But who knows? At least she didn't she didn't kill anyone, but she could have actually because of misdiagnoses. But this show is starring Amanda Seyfried, Naveen Andrews, and William H. Macy. It is also 8 episodes. They are not quite as long as the Dope Sick episodes.
Okay.
Really well done, though. I would say I didn't like it as much as Dope Sick, but it was really good. And there's a lot more humor than you would think. I mean, for such a difficult subject matter. And I'll also say Arjun watched both of these with me, Jared. I know you know that's a big deal, because often he won't watch every show with me just because of different interests and time commitments and stuff, whereas I can, like, I'll stay up till 4 a.m. to binge a show. So it was neat that he, I think that says something that he enjoyed these as much as I did. And then nice. The other ones, I won't say as much about my final two, but my third one I did want to recommend. I watched Anatomy of a Scandal on Netflix. This is starring Sienna Miller, Rupert Friend, and Michelle Dockery. There's only 6 episodes. They are fairly long, so it is a commitment. By fairly long, I mean they're about an hour. It was so good. Now, I didn't think it was as good as Dope Sick or The Dropout, but extremely well done. If you are a fashionista such as myself, I think I mentioned this on our last episode, but like Sienna Miller's wardrobe in this show alone is just, it's worth it, because she just looks so English, so timeless, so rich, so fancy. And then Rupert Friend, I have an enormous crush on. He's not great in this, like he's not a good person. But I don't want to ruin any of it for you, except I saw a few things coming, but what I loved is I didn't see the end coming. And I love when people trick me at the end. It's the best. It would be described as a psychological thriller. And all I'll say to get you started is that Rupert Friend, he is very close to the Prime Minister of England in the show, and he has an affair. Right off the bat, you find out he's been having an affair with Naomi Scott, who played Jasmine in the new Aladdin, by the way.
Okay.
And you find out that he has this affair and it's going to be released to the press. So he has to tell his wife, Sienna Miller, to let her know. That's like, boom, 10 minutes in. We already know this is happening. And then stuff goes awry from there. It is okay. So good.
I really like shows that just get right into it. It sounds like this one is one of those where it's like, okay, here's the stakes and we're just going to go from there. So
yes.
I can appreciate shows that kind of slow build up to something, but to just start something off with like, you know, a big plot point just really early on, I think can be smart definitely at times, because it gets you interested and it just gets you invested in the story like really early on. So
yes, and you know, I love England. I mean, I'm a major Anglophile as well as a Francophile, and I love fashion and I really love drama. So it was so tailor-made for what I like. But if you're into those, you would enjoy the show, Anatomy of a Scandal. Okay, and then the last two, these are the ones, they're not done. So I can't give you like a full whatever synopsis. But one is The Flight Attendant on HBO. That's starring Kaylee Cuoco, Josiah Mamet, which I've heard her pronounce her name Josha. So I could be wrong. So it's one of the two. And then Rosie Perez. There's six episodes so far, and it is the second season. I loved the first season. I will say I haven't thought the second season is quite up to par with the first until episode five. Five and six, okay. They totally redeemed themselves. I'm pulled right back in. Love it. That's all I'll say about it. It's a great show. It's like it's a thriller too, and she also is dealing with alcoholism, and that adds a really good, like, it raises the stakes because she's trying not to be an alcoholic, but she suffers from alcoholism. The last thing is, oh yes, Under the Banner of Heaven. I started watching this. I wasn't sure if I was going to watch it. It's on Hulu, but so many people were talking about it. And then I looked up the synopsis or whatever, and I was like, true crime. So I tuned in immediately because I was like, there's going to be a dead body and they're going to try to solve the case. I'm in. And Andrew Garfield's in it. There's only four episodes so far of this. The newest one comes out tomorrow, May 19th, for those of you, because you don't know what day we're recording. Andrew Garfield, Gil Birmingham, Rory Culkin, Sam Worthington, Wyatt Russell, and Daisy Edgar Jones are all in it. You hear, again, it starts right at the very beginning. You see a woman who has been murdered and a child. That is a trigger. So if you can't handle that, you don't see anything. You just know it's happened. But they're in a community of Mormons. And so that adds a really different element to this, which I think is what's making it so interesting. And Andrew Garfield is part of that faith in the show. And so he's also trying to deal with, was this someone in this community? Does religion play a part in this? Who has killed this young woman and her child? Dang, it is so good. It's quite dark, though. And if you are triggered by religious things, I wouldn't recommend it. But it's super good so far.
Okay. I've been wanting to watch that. I haven't yet. It's on my list, but I just haven't got around to it. And yeah. Then The Flight Attendant, I might wait till you finish the second season to let me know if you think that it's going to be worth the watch or not. So,
okay.
Because I have not started that yet either. I did watch the first season, thought the first season was very good.
Yes.
Saw the trailer for the second season and thought, I don't know how they're going to make this work, really.
Yeah, and I was worried about that.
What put me off. So, yeah.
Yes, but episodes five and six, I feel like what I just watched, they were just as good as season one. But I don't like that it took four episodes to get there, but we're back in. Like now it's like, ooh, like it's really good.
Okay. Good to know. So I have a few shows. The first one of those, one of these is, let's see, two of these, their seasons are completed and they're only on their first season. One of them, the season is going on right now and you would need to watch a few seasons before you start this one, obviously. So the first show I'm going to recommend, though, is Severance on Apple TV Plus.
That's on my list.
This is starring Adam Scott in the lead role, and this is a very heavy science fiction thriller drama type show about this company called Lumen. And at the end of the first season, we still don't really know what they do or what they're working on. But anyway, Adam Scott is one of the employees that has to go through this procedure called getting severed, where his work memories and his outside of work memories are separate, and he cannot remember, like, so what he does at work, he can't remember once he leaves work, and once he does outside of work, he doesn't remember when he gets to work. So it's an interesting concept for a show. Ben Stiller is one of the creative people behind it. He's directed a few episodes. He wrote a couple of the episodes. Adam Scott is great in it. John Turturro is also in it, and he's really good. Christopher Walken is in it for a little bit. Yes. And he's pretty solid. So,
Jared, do you know that Sean and I, my brother and I, have a love/hysterical reaction to Christopher Walken no matter what he's in? It's just so funny you said this, because this week he told me he has been cast in Dune 2.
Okay.
Yes. So he's going to be in it. But I have heard nothing but rave reviews about Severance. I put it on my list. I know it's sci-fi. But listen, if I fell in love with Dune, I can do it for Severance. So I'm definitely going to watch it. And I appreciate your endorsement.
I feel like it unravels the story well, in that by when you're at the end of the first season, you're like, wow, I know all this information now. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't dump that all on you right from the beginning. It kind of gives it to you in, you know, pieces. So I feel like it's easier to follow along, because as long as you're paying attention to the episodes, you will be able to understand everything by the end of the first season. But once you look back on what you've watched, it'll be like, wow, that was a lot of stuff. But it doesn't feel daunting when you start it. So
I'm pumped. I'll do that soon.
Okay. The next show I'm going to recommend is something that's completely opposite from that. I have not finished the first season of this yet, but the first season is it's entirely out. And that is Abbott Elementary, which is on Hulu. It's an ABC show. So
yes.
Quinta Brunson is the showrunner on this. She also stars in it. And it is about an elementary school in Philadelphia. It is a workplace comedy like Parks and Rec, like The Office, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, whatever, you know, Schitt's Creek, whatever your kind of favorite one of those is. And it follows this group of elementary school teachers at a school in Philadelphia. It is very funny. My girlfriend Allison was the one that recommended it to me, and she said it's fairly accurate to what teaching is actually like, and the personality types and everything. So the episodes are short. They're only 25 minutes. If you're looking for, it just got picked up for a second season, so it'll be back again this fall. And it's just really, it's really well written. It's very sharp and kind of snappy. There have been multiple jokes that have made me laugh out loud. So I think if you're like, I haven't found that next great, you know, sitcom to watch after maybe you finished something that you really enjoy, this would be one to check out, because it is really funny. So
if Allison loves it, I think I will watch it. Also, isn't it a predominantly black cast?
It is, yep. So they're basically, the school is in an inner city, basically like an inner city school in Philadelphia. Yeah. So
that's awesome, because I saw previews for this and it looked really funny to me. And I remember thinking, I hope that show does well, because we need more of that. And a lot of shows with predominantly black cast, we know, are not treated the same way and everything. So I'm very happy to hear that is just as good as it looked in the previews.
Yep, I think there's seven people that it basically follows, like seven main characters, and four of them are black. So
okay, did you say is it on Hulu now? Is that where I saw it?
Yes, it is on Hulu. Okay. So
I'm adding it right now. Thank you.
So that's a great one. And then my final recommendation for a show is going to be Barry on HBO.
Yes.
I've recommended this before. Bill Hader stars in the lead role. He is a hitman who wants to get out of being a hitman, so he decides to turn to acting. And Henry Winkler is also in the show. This is on its third season. The third season is going on right now on HBO, so you will need to start with season one, obviously. But the episodes are only about 30 minutes. It is dark, but it is also very funny at the same time. That's just something I feel like that you don't see a lot on television, like a show about a hitman that also has comedy in it. The characters are really interesting. There's lots of twists and turns. They do things that you don't expect them to. They also get to plot points pretty quickly. So like when something happens that becomes, you know, maybe a tense subject, they won't wait like six or eight episodes to address that. They'll like address that the next episode. So it's very tense show though. Very well shot. And I feel like it's kind of going a little bit under the radar. I feel like it should be getting nominated for more Emmys and stuff than it is, and more awards. Maybe this season it will. And it took kind of a long break because the second season came out like right before COVID. So it's been almost 3 years, I think, since the last season. But Barry on HBO is one of my favorites. And Bill Hader is really great in that role. If you liked him on SNL, you'll like him in this show.
Yeah.
So
I think I'm going to have to give it a go. I think I had watched like half of one episode once, and I think it was in the middle of the pandemic. And I don't know if it was my headspace or if I just wasn't paying attention and forgot about it, or if I maybe had subscribed to HBO at the time and didn't the next month. I don't know. But I do think I'm going to give Barry a try, because I think I'm going to end up loving it based on just Bill Hader and crime.
You love
that's
crime,
all I need
so.
Jared,
yes, so there's one on Abbott Elementary's on Hulu, Severance is on Apple TV Plus, and then Barry's on HBO Max. I would also throw out a quick recommend for Stranger Things. The new season's about to premiere. I've liked the first three seasons. I don't really know where they're going with this season. They said they're going to do this season and another one. I feel like they could have stopped with this season. So I might take back that recommend it once the show actually premieres, but now's a good time to get caught up because the new season's going to premiere Memorial Day weekend. So if you're like, I've been wanting to watch Stranger Things, now's a good time.
Yeah.
And I guess we'll give Netflix another show there because most of our shows were either Hulu.
Yeah.
And HBO. So, yep. Yeah.
I will say I've given up on Stranger Things. I already decided I'm done with it. No offense to anybody who likes it either. I truly like, because I told you I gave up on Grey's Anatomy too. I was like, I'm done. I stuck with it till this year. And then I was like, nope, I'm done. So I don't know what happened, but something, I mean, my list, Jared, I have like 50 things on this list. So yeah. I have to trim the fat somewhere. But it's really been fun sharing these because I feel like everything you've said, either I added back on a list or I added to my list as well. So I think this awesome. Served a great purpose.
We have a lot of different types of shows there for you too. So yes. hopefully something that we recommended you will enjoy. So you can follow the Silver Screen Podcast on social media at Podcast Silver. We also have the links in the description for this episode. That's Facebook, or that's Twitter and Instagram, and then just search on Facebook, the Silver Screen Podcast, and you'll find us. You can also follow us on Letterboxd if you want. I don't know if you saw, but I put our Letterboxd profiles in the description for the last episode. So
no, that is so exciting. You guys, I'm getting better at Letterboxd.
So
I'd love
Katie,
to have more than
get
two
Katie
friends.
More than two friends.
So. Please.
So you can follow us on there if you want to see what we're watching and how many stars we scored and stuff. Could be a little bit of a spoiler if you're like wanting to wait till the podcast episode though, because we do rate it on there before we publish the episode. So just FYI on that. And then be sure to rate and review wherever you listen to the show. That really helps us out as well. And then on our next episode, this was decided by you, the listener, we're going to do our top 10 movies from the 1990s. So anything
it's
that came out between 1990...
50th! I can't believe
it! We've got 10 years of movies to choose from there. I've started to assemble a list. It has been difficult.
Me too.
There's been a lot of cuts.
I'm going to cry. There will be tears this week while I'm deciding these.
So
guaranteed.
That'll be our next episode, our top 10 favorite movies of the 1990s.
Until next time, we'd like to thank the Academy.